Chapter 8. So tune it sounds well, but I'll ensure it's not unraveling. Minister, well, by the terms, there are among them these 500,000 active men in arms shall strike, supported by the Britannic aid in vessels, men, and money subsidies, to free North Germany and Hanover from trampling foes, deliver Switzerland, unbind the Gauled Republic of the Dutch, rethrone in Piedmont the Sardinian king, make Naples sword-proof, unfrench Italy from shore to shore, and thoroughly guarantee a settled order to the divers states, thus rearing breachless barriers in each realm against the thrust of his usurping hand. Spirit of the years, they trow, not what is shaping otherwhere the while they talk this stoutly. Spirit of rumor, bid me go and join them, and all blandly kindle them by bringing, ere material transit can, a new surprise. Spirit of the years, yea, for a moment, wouldst. The spirit of rumor enters the apartment in the form of a personage of fashion, newly arrived. He advances and addresses the group. Spirit, the treaty moves all tongues tonight. Ha, well, so much on paper. Gentlemen, what on land and sea? You look, old friend, full primed with latest thence. Spirit, yea, this. The Italy our mighty pact delivers from the French, and Bonaparte makes haste to crown him. Turning from Bowland he speeds toward Milan, there to glory him in second coronation by the Pope, and set upon his irrepressible brow Lombardy's iron crown. The spirit of rumor mingles with the throng, moves away, and disappears. Lady, fair Italy, alas, alas! Lord, yet thereby English folk our freedom. Faith, as ancient people say, it's an ill wind that blows good luck to none. Minister, who is your friend, that drops so airily this precious pinch of salt on our raw skin? Gentlemen, why, Norton. You know Norton well enough? Minister, nay, 'twas not he. Norton, of course I know. I thought him Stuart for a moment, but, lady, but I well scanned him 'twas Lord Abercorn. For, said I to myself, O quaint old beau, to sleep in black silk sheets so funnily. That is, if the town rumor on't be true. Lord, my wig, ma'am, no. 'Twas a much younger man. Gentlemen, but let me call him. Monstrous silly this, that don't know my friends.
They look around. The gentleman goes among the surging and babbling guests, makes inquiries, and returns with a perplexed look.
Gentlemen, they tell me, sure, that he's not here tonight. Minister, I can well swear it was not Norton. 'Twas some lively buck, who chose to put himself in masquerade and enter for a whim. I'll tell our host. Meantime the absurdity of his report is more than manifested. How knows he the plans of Bonaparte by lightning flight, before another man in England knows? Lady, something uncanny's in it all, if true. Good Lord, the thought gives me a sudden sweat that fairly makes my linen stick to me. Minister, ha ha! 'Tis excellent. But we'll find out who this impostor was.
They disperse, look furtively for the stranger, and speak of the incident to others of the crowded company.
Spirit of the years, now let us vision onward, till we sight famed Milan's isles of marble, sunlight, and there behold, unbid, the coronation rite.
The confused tongues of the assembly waste away into distance, till they are heard, but as the babblings of the sea from a high cliff, the scene becoming small and indistinct therewith. This passes into silence, and the whole disappears.
Scene by Milan. The cathedral,
the interior of the building on a sunny May day. The walls, arched, and columns are draped in silk fringed with gold. A gilded throne stand in front of the high altar. A closely packed assemblage, attired in every variety of rich fabric and fashion, waits in breathless expectation.
Dumb show, from a private corridor leading to a door in the aisle the Empress Josephine enters, in a shining costume, and diamonds that collect rainbow colors from the sunlight piercing the clerestory windows. She is preceded by Princess Eliza, and surrounded by her ladies. A pause follows, and then comes the procession of the Emperor, consisting of hussars, heralds, pages, aides de camp, presidents of institutions, officers of the state bearing the insignia of the Empire and of Italy, and seven ladies with offerings. The emperor himself in royal robes, wearing the imperial crown, and carrying the scepter. He is followed by ministers and officials of the household. His gait is rather defiant than dignified, and a bluish pallor overspreads his face. He is met by the Cardinal Archbishop of Caprara and the clergy, who burn incense before him as he proceeds towards the throne. Rolling notes of music burn forth, and loud applause from the congregation. Spirit of the pities, what is the creed that these rich rites disclose? Spirit of the years, a local cult, called Christianity, which the wild dramas of the wheeling spheres include, with divers other such, in dim pathetical and brief parentheses, beyond whose span, uninfluenced, unconcerned, the systems of the suns, go sweeping on with all their many mortal planet train and mathematic roll unceasingly. Spirit of the pities, I did not recognize it here, forsooth, though in its early, living kindly days of gracious purpose it was much to me. Archbishop addressing Bonaparte, sire, with that clemency and right goodwill which beautify imperial majesty, you deigned acceptance of the homages that we the clergy and the Milanese were proud to offer when your entrance here streamed radiance on our ancient capital. Please, then, to consummate the boon today beneath this holy roof, so soon to thrill with solemn strains, and lifting harmonies befitting such a coronation hour, and bend a tender fatherly regard on this assembly, now at one with me to supplicate the author of all good, that he endow your most imperial person with every heavenly gift. The procession advances, and the emperor seats himself on the throne, with the banners and regalia of the empire on his right, and those of Italy on his left hand. Shouts and triumphal music accompany the proceedings, after which divine service commences. Spirit of the pities, thus are the self-styled servants of the highest constrained by earthly duress, to embrace mighty imperiousness as it were choice, and hand the Italian scepter unto one who, with a saturnine, sour-humored grin, professed at first to flout antiquity, scorn limp conventions, smile at moldy thrones, and level dynasts down to journeymen. Yet he, advancing swiftly on that track whereby his active soul, fair freedom's child makes strange decline, now labors to achieve the thing it overthrew. Spirit of the years, thou reasonest ever thuswise, even if a self-formed force had urged his loud career. Spirit sinister, do not the prelate's accents falter thin, his lips within old laughter grow deformed, while blessing one whose aim is but to win the golden seats, that other BS have warmed? Spirit of the years, soft, jester, scorn not puppetry so skilled, even made to feel by one men call the dame. Shade of the earth, yea, that they feel, and puppetry remain, is an own flaw in her consistency men love to dub dom nature, that lay shape they use to hang phenomena upon whose deftest mothering and fairest sphere is girt about by terms inexorable. Spirit sinister, the lady's remark is apposite, and reminds me, that I may as well. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.